I'm hitting record now, and it's happening. All right. Well, I think everyone who's going to be here is here, so I don't see any reason why we couldn't get started unless anybody objects. If you do object, speak now or forever hold your peace. You know, funny story, anytime I officiate a wedding and I ask couples, you know, what they're looking for with the ceremony, several have asked me, please don't ask, does anybody object to this marriage? You know, and that only makes me want to ask that. I'm like, somebody would object. I kind of want to know who now, you know. Do you ever ask that question when you officiate a wedding? I've never asked that question in the first place. Because who cares? Even if they do, okay, whatever, y'all still want to get married? We're still doing this. Seems like a weird thing to ask. Okay. Anywho, let's open up the prayer. Father God, we give you thanks for this day, and we give you thanks for this opportunity for us to come together and to study your word. Thank you for everyone here, Lord, who's taking the time to be here and, of course, be encouraged one another and demonstrate what's important to them, and that's, of course, seeking you and your righteousness. So, Father, I just pray that our minds and our hearts and our eyes will be open to everything that we study tonight. Of course, by diving into the scriptures, we learn about more of you and what you expect of us. And, of course, Lord, I pray that it'll be our goal and desire to fulfill those expectations. All this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, for the people who are online, you see a little different backdrop here. We're in the small conference room tonight instead of the big room. But let's open up to Proverbs chapter 15 because we are going to be continuing in the series of Proverbs. I was wondering how much longer we were going to do this, but right now, you know, I was actually looking at, I've still got a lot more material, so I think we might end up doing a full 52 studies, make it a whole year. We're about halfway there right now. But 15. So tonight, the subject we're going to be studying in Proverbs is about counsel, about receiving advice. And these are Proverbs that are not just about getting advice, but considering who you get that advice from. Because as most of us know, there is good advice, and on the flip side, there's also bad advice. We want to make sure that we are able to discern both of those. So there's a lot of different Proverbs that kind of talk about the importance of advice. The word that we're going to see that's referred to here is counsel. So let's just kind of do a little broad stroking here. Let's look at some of these, talk about them briefly, and then we'll kind of get more into application. So Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. It says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So this is probably one of the more basic proverbs about this subject that we come across. And it is what it is, right? If you want your plans to succeed, you need to have some advisors. You need to have some people surrounding you, helping you out a little bit. As a professional planner, this is something that I can appreciate. I don't necessarily would say I have advisors when it comes to my job, but we do have little meetings, little powwows to make sure nothing's getting missed. But we got similar proverbs around the same subject matter, and they sound very much the same as we continue looking. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20. Flip a few pages over. You guys will appreciate this. I put these all in chronological order. We're just going to be always moving forward, just like the church always should do, right? There's probably a message there. All right, verse 18. Plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance, wage war. So this is very similar to what we read in chapter 15, but we got a few more layers now. Welcome to the small conference room, Phillips. A few more layers. Doesn't talk so much about whether or not your plans are going to succeed or fail, like we read in Proverbs chapter 15, but it does say that they will be established. And I suppose one could say that the reason a plan fails or succeeds is whether or not it was established. but we'll talk more about that later. But we're given instruction here to wage war by wise guidance. Going to come back to that as well. For now, let's just continue to look at a few more Proverbs that are around this similar subject matter, and we're going to come back to it. Proverbs 24. Moving forward. Proverbs 24. Verse 6. Kind of in the middle of a sentence. I mean, maybe we should back up to verse 5. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. Now verse 6. For by wise guidance you can wage war. And in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Now, this one is unique in that it isn't about war necessarily and having many advisors. I'm getting ahead of myself. Given instruction that war should be waged by wise guidance. And it says, adds a little bit more to what we just read in that You know, victory is achieved through many counselors. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 27, which is different. So far, we're seeing everything with very similar subject matter. This is one's going to be a little bit different. Verse 9, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. I got a footnote there. How does some of the other translations read that that verse, at least the second half of that verse?
So a man's counsel is sweet to his friend.
Okay. All right. Same idea. So again, this one's not talking about war like the last two we read. This is saying that earnest counsel from a friend, you know, one person is compared to something pleasant. Really helps to show the different kind of forms counsel can take. Sometimes you're getting advice from a lot of people about something big. Sometimes you're getting it from one person individual. Sometimes it can be about something as difficult and complex as waging war. Sometimes it can be as simple as you're talking to somebody because maybe you want to vent, you want to feel better about something. But overall, there is a similarity that all these verses on counsel share, which is that seeking advice, seeking counsel is a good thing. If there's a similarity between any of them, that's what it is. Seeking advice is a good thing. Now, I think that's something that we really need to recognize, because a lot of times you see people being hesitant to ask for advice or seek counsel. And one of the main reasons for that is because they think that asking for advice or seeking counsel is a sign of weakness, right? And it's not. And if there's one lesson that I would want us to take away from this study tonight, it's to recognize that asking for advice and seeking counsel is not a weakness. People have this idea that if I ask for help, I'm admitting that I don't know something, or that I'm ignorant, or that I'm not up to the task, or that I'm failing in some way, right? If I can't do it myself or figure this out myself, there must be something wrong with me. And that's not the case. You know, there's a person who, the person who I took her job because she retired, my boss told me not too long ago, she's like, you know, there's a big difference I noticed between you running events right before they happen versus who you took the job from. I said, really, what is it? And she says, so I'm sure you probably heard, it's like right before the event would happen and all these little things would come crashing down. Somebody forgets to make a reservation. Someone forgets to register. You get a curveball thrown your way. You would hear this in the next office. And she would throw things down and just really, really express her frustration. She was like, you don't do that so much. You know, you just kind of keep on trucking. But when she would feel frustrated like that, we would ask her, you know, hey, Marcia, you know, can we help you with something? Is anything that we can do? You need us to make some phone calls, pick up something for you? I mean, what can we do to make your job easier? Because you're obviously frustrated with what's going on. And she wouldn't ask for help. And because she thought if she asked for help, that means her job was at risk. These are my duties. These are my responsibilities. If I can't do these things, that means that I'm not able to fulfill my job requirements, which means what? My job's going to go to someone else, or maybe my employment's at risk. It really wasn't. We worked for the state. But but we could tell she had too much to handle. And I think at times it probably was too much for one person. But we would often see the product of what she would do suffer as a result. Because she didn't ask for help. Because she didn't ask for any guidance. Because she didn't look around her and say, who can give me a hand? The product suffered. Now, as a church, we're commanded to rely on one another. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Went over this with my family last night when we were doing devotion time around the dinner table. Actually, kind of coincidentally. Looking at verses 1 through 3. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, I'm sorry, I'm still hearing pages flip. Something I'm not used to, because usually people are farther away. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Verse 2 there, it says, bear one another's burdens. I think one of the things we tend to overlook is when the Bible actually commands us to do something and we sort of take it as a suggestion, right? Bear one another's burdens if it's convenient for you, or if you have time, or it's not going to interfere with the things that you have going on. That's not what Scripture says. It says bear one another's burdens. It's a commandment. We are supposed to rely with one, on one another. If we see somebody struggling, we're supposed to step in. Now, too often, we see people not ask for advice when they're going through something difficult. And when they finally are ready to talk to somebody about it, to seek counsel, to seek advice, usually it's too late. The damage is done, right? There's a girl who works in my department, and right now she's going through a divorce. Now, she's the kind of person who's really big on appearances, right? I've got perfect kids. I've got perfect husband. We can't all be Diane and have the perfect husband. But she gets, no. Perfect husband, perfect job, perfect house, right? And I was really quite surprised because in May, she conceded in us, hey, me and my husband are getting separated. I can't hide this stuff anymore. I can't keep it from anyone else anymore. I'm going to have to be going in and out of the office, not here and there to make arrangements because we're moving in different houses and that kind of thing. So I just want you guys to know, and I hope that, you know, I can come to you for help and advice. Okay. So my boss also went through a divorce, and she's told me, you know, it's so great that, you know, our boss has been through this because I can go to her and ask for advice on how to handle it. Now, I appreciate the fact that she feels like that she can go to our boss for a personal matter. But the question I'm having is, why weren't you coming to someone for advice when you were going through the trouble? Now you're coming to someone for advice on how to clean up the mess. The damage is done, right? The damage is done. But again, why wouldn't you want to go to somebody and ask for advice before the damage is done? Because it means that I'm lacking. It means that I'm weak. It means that I'm failing. I don't want to admit that until I fail, right? Now I'm humble enough to actually ask for advice, right? So the question I would ask is, why are more conversations taking place on how to handle going through divorce rather than having a conversation on, hey, before we get there, how do we get our marriage back on track? That's the conversation that should be having. Now, again, the thing that we have to make clear, it is not a weakness to say, I need help, I need advice. That is not a weakness. It is not a sign of ignorance. It is not a sign of incapability. As the proverb states, in abundance of counsel, there is victory. That's what we want. Victory. We want to win. We want to accomplish the things that we're going out there to accomplish. We do that through seeking advice. So how could that be a weakness? It doesn't say with an abundance of counselors, you can make the best of a bad situation or you can negotiate surrender better, because that's what you've done when you've already lost. If you're negotiating surrender and you're trying to make the best of a bad situation, the damage is done. Seek that counsel before you get there. Ask for help before you even start. How about asking for help when you see a bad situation developing in hopes of avoiding it altogether? Is that a bad thing? I'm asking y'all, is that a bad thing? Is that an indicator of weakness? Absolutely not. But we see people do it all the time. I need help on how to get out of this mess. Well, how'd you get into this mess? If you would ask for my help before you got in the mess, maybe you wouldn't even be in the first place, right? Now, that's not how we would respond if somebody asked for help. Maybe that's another reason why people are reluctant to ask for help. But anyway, we're going to continue to build on this. But first thing is first to establish, we have to recognize that asking for help, seeking advice, wanting counsel is a strength. It's not a weakness, okay? But we're going to continue to build on that. Does anybody have anything they want to add as we continue? I need advice on how to keep this going, keep this microphone on. Right. That almost sounded condescending.
I would submit that sometimes people don't ask for advice because they don't want to be talked out of the right.
You're absolutely right. We're going to talk about that tonight, in fact.
Oh, jumping
the gun again. No. I love it. You know, because if I'm talking about things that Diane's immediately thinking of, I'm usually on the right track. So that's good. So let's go back to Proverbs chapter 20. You know, Well, for the first part, we weren't going backwards. Now we're going backwards.
That's not how we're going.
If you guys want your money back, you can have it. I'll double your money back for this study. You're probably right. I should have. The other day I was in Proverbs 20. I was
next time you make a statement like that,
yeah.
We're all
going
to know it. Right. I was too busy trying to create a witty retort.
I think you did a good job. I saw a meme the other day on Facebook, and I actually applied it. It's it was actually like a Star Trek meme where Spock was talking to some guys, but I did it at my AV meeting where I'm talking to the AV team. It's about 10 guys about here's how we're going to run the conference. And I said, welcome to the condescending committee meeting. The first rule of the condescending committee meeting is very complex. So complex, you probably wouldn't understand it, so I'm not even going to bother explaining it. I thought that was pretty funny. Okay. Now, one problem that some people might face when it comes to seeking counsel and advice is not knowing when. At what point am I actually supposed to go and look for advice? The question they may ask, and it's a question that I sometimes ask, is, when do I seek advice versus when am I supposed to just figure out something on my own, right? Because there's value in that. There's value in that. I'm training a person at my job, and she'll ask me some questions that I feel like are very, very apparent. And there's no, and I have to catch myself because I'm going to be like, really? You're asking me that? It's like, this should be an easy thing, right? But that's a good question.
There's no stupid
questions. There's no stupid questions, only the ones that goes unasked, right? Except for that one. But Proverbs addresses this. And it's when you want to accomplish something and the challenges before you are so great you don't know how to approach them. So again, verse 18, plans are established by counsel. By wise guidance, wage war. Now, I like how this proverb, we have a connection with plans being established and war being waged with wisdom. Now, I am a conference planner by profession. And one thing about conferences is that most people who attend them, they only see the finished product, right? They go to the hotel, they see how the room's set up, they go through the buffet line to get their food, they check in to get their name badge, they get their materials, that kind of thing. They see the finished product. They don't see all the work that goes behind an event, right? To make those materials, I got to ask the speakers for them, I got to get them to the printer to make the name badges, we got to print them all out, and we got to merge the files. To get that buffet line going, I got to know how many people are going to be there. We got to select food to make the room set up that way. We got to know how many people are going to be there and what people prefer, right? So people see the finished product. They don't see the months and months of work that goes into making that happen. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. And from a logistical standpoint, we could compare it to waging war because there's a lot of logistics that go into that. Remember, that's what this proverb says, by wise guidance, we wage war. I'm sure we've all watched these kind of battle movies where two armies are facing one another, fighting one another, from medieval times or way back when. I was watching the movie Gladiator a couple days ago. Great movie, right? A lot of people will say the best line in the movie Gladiator is, "Are you not entertained?" That's not the best line of the movie. The best line of the movie, according to my opinion, is when Maximus is talking to his, his assistant, his servant, whatever it is, and he says, "Do you ever feel that it's difficult to do your duty?" And he says, "Sometimes I do the things that I want to do. Most times I just do what I have to." I was like, I can relate to that. Sometimes I do what I want to do. Most of the times, you know what I do? What I have to do. I think that was the best line of the movie. But anyway, at the very intro of Gladiator, you've got, they're in Germania, they're fighting, I guess, the Germans. they didn't sound like Germans. And the Romans are fighting. And the Romans, they've got like this amazing army. They've got catapults, and they've got arrows that are shooting fire, and they've got a campman, and they've got soldiers. Now, when I look at that, one of the things that I think about are the logistics. Where are the soldiers setting up their tents, and who's responsible for setting up those tents? Where do those guys get their food from? Where do they take their horses when they need to eat? How do they get the fuel for the fire that goes into the arrows? Who sets up the catapults when it comes to battle time? Because there's a person behind each one of those things to make that army the way it is. There's a lot of logistics. A lot goes into a battle than just fighting. So why then would you need counsel to wage a war by wisdom? Because there's a lot of moving parts and help is needed. We can draw a parallel from that to anything in our own lives. Sometimes we're trying to accomplish something that is a big task and it has a lot of moving parts. And it's okay to ask for help. Guidance, waging war, victory. It's okay to ask for help. You can draw that to anything. Leah's wedding. Was there a lot of moving parts to that? Was there a lot of logistics to that? No. I was actually humble because Matt reached out to me a few times and he says, "I know you've done a few weddings." I'm like, "Yes, I have." And he was just like, "How does this normally work? And how do people normally do that?" Again, just sending a few texts here and there to get advice. But the point is, trying to do something, try to accomplish something, There's a lot going on. There's a lot going into it. If a person's feeling overwhelmed, they don't know how to handle a particular situation, it's okay to ask for help. There's nothing wrong with that. Just because a person asks for help, it doesn't mean that they're weak. It doesn't mean that they're incapable. It might just mean that you don't know everything that you need to know and somebody else might. And it doesn't have to be big things either. Small things can be big to some people. Big things can be small to other people. Either way, advice is readily available, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, this kind of goes along with what Diane was talking about. Need to keep in mind that good counsel might be something that you don't want to hear. And that's a hard one to deal with, right? Good counsel might be something that you don't want to hear. We've talked before about how a lot of people like to believe things that already align with what they want to believe. Isn't it amazing that the God that a lot of people believe in fully approves of the life that they're already living, even if it's contrary to what we receive, not just in the Bible, but any religious scripture? Kind of convenient, right? Officiating weddings, I talk to a lot of couples, and of course, one of the reasons they hire me is because they don't have a home church. They don't go to a regular church. And they tell me, we've gone to a few places, but we haven't found a place that we like yet. All right, so let me ask y'all, what does it mean, you think, when people say, I haven't found a church that I like yet? Typically, what does that mean?
Entertainment.
Yeah, entertainment. They're not entertaining, right? People say they don't have kid stuff, but that's generally what it is. They're not saying the things that I want to hear. Maybe they're saying some things that are challenging me, that make me go outside of my comfort zone, that would require me to change. I don't like that. I'd rather find some place that just tells me that Jesus loves me. We sing the Jesus Loves Me song. We go home and we watch football, right? Sometimes a person has their heart on doing something. They might ask for advice on how to go about it. And sometimes the best advice is to tell them not to, even if they don't like it. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 27. We're moving forward again.
Temporarily.
Moving forward again. Verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You may remember we actually studied this proverb not too long ago, and we kind of talked about how, this seems kind of contrary because usually a kiss is something that's you would associate as being as a good thing. Wouldn't we get that from a friend, and wouldn't we get the wounds from an enemy? Well, no, not necessarily. You know, your enemy wants you to do things that will lead to your downfall, especially if it feels good. Whereas a friend will tell you something that you don't want to hear, even if you don't want to hear it, because it might be better for you. They might inflict those wounds because it would be better for you in the long run. Now, one of the things we talked about when we looked at this proverb is that it says a wounds of a friend, which means you need to be a friend before you start giving out wounds, which means you need to build that relationship. But when we're counseling a friend, sometimes we have to give people advice that is contrary to what they want. You know, one of the Bible studies that I'm having on Tuesday night, I'm struggling a little bit, on Monday night, I'm struggling a little bit. It's Morgan's dad, and he's not on, so we're clear here. And, he came from a Pentecostal background. And now we're getting into the parts about, kind of like the plan of salvation. I said, well, how is salvation explained to you? Well, I said the sinner's prayer, and I believed, and I just never brought up baptism. Talked about it later, tried to apply things retroactively, right? So now we're getting into, things that really address what the Pentecostal church does, spiritual gifts and speaking in tongues. He says, yeah, I believe it's in it. I asked him again. I said, so what do you think about the spiritual gifts before we got into it? Do you think they're still around? Do you think they're still in play? How do they manifest? He says, yeah, I've seen people heal by faith. I've heard people speak that angelic language. So we just went over the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he's like, I gotta chew on this. See how this reconciles. That's the word to use. I feel how this reconciles. What is he trying to do? To make what I previously thought right with what I'm hearing right now. We're butting heads a little bit now, which is okay. Because I'm still using scripture to back up everything. That's okay. But, again, sometimes you have to tell people, even if it's contrary to what they think or what they want. I think he would love for me to say, spiritual gifts are still alive and active today. But I didn't. I remember when my mom was talking about moving in, she wanted to redo the garage to turn it into a mother-in-law suite. Remember that, Dale? Because she was talking to Dale about it. She wanted to, one of her ideas was to build an RV or have an RV and park that. That's where she was going to live in, a she shed. You remember all this, Mom? She's online. So I kept telling her, RV's a bad idea. Garage is a bad idea. She shed, no, I don't like that one either. I said, let's just get you in the house and let's get your room set up and then we'll talk about those things. And she's like, I'm really glad you talked me out of those things because I like the situation we're in right now. It's like, okay, that was good advice, right? For everybody. No she shed. Okay. But regardless of the situation or circumstance, again, there's nothing wrong with asking for advice, counsel, and help, right? So we're going to continue to build a little bit more, but anybody have any questions about any of this as we continue? All right, let's go to Proverbs 18, moving back.
Yeah, that Pentecostal stuff, did he speak in tongues?
I didn't get that far, but he did say that him and his wife were both elders in the Pentecostal church.
Oh, then he would have had to have been speaking in tongues. So
yeah.
That's like one of the ultimate lessons in humility, because if he's going to actually side with the scripture on that,
yeah,
he's going to have to admit that I was either faking or caught up in something or some other kind of spiritual influence that isn't good.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that's a big one. Mm-hmm. I don't see, there's not a whole lot of people that come back from that. But
he's right on the line with that humility. I'm like, it's I can't tell yet, but so yeah.
He's going to have to chew on it.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting how that plays out.
It will be. You know? And one of the things that I've tried to emphasize to him is humility. I told him, I said, look, when I started really studying scripture and having studies with people about scripture, I realized that I was wrong in a lot of places and I had to eat a lot of humble pie. I said, I had to take small bites. I had to take big bites. But, you know, looking back on it now, I'm so glad I did, because now I can have that confidence that I'm lining up with scripture. And I had to admit that I was wrong on some things. So I've tried to emphasize that a little bit, but he keeps coming back. So that's a good sign, right? That's a good sign. All right. So, of course, we would be remiss in encouraging people to take advice if we didn't talk about the fact that there is bad advice, right? There's good advice and there's bad advice. And here we're saying, you need to get advice. You need to get advice. You need to get advice. We would be very remiss if we didn't, of course, we have to be careful about the advice that we get. So, we talked about, you know, the wounds of a friend, the kisses of an enemy. An enemy, he may give you bad advice because it's what you want to hear, but it might not be good for you, but your enemy's not going to care. But why else may a person receive bad advice? And Proverbs actually addresses this. Let me get a drink of water real quick. In chapter 18, verse 24. It says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So, many companions may come to ruin. You know, just because you're surrounded by people who are giving you advice, that doesn't mean they're giving you good advice. Now, when I read that proverb, it reminded me of the story of Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapter 12, which is where we're going. As I'm sure I remember the story of Rehoboam, he was Solomon's son, took the throne right after he died. We're going to hit verses 1 through 11. I'll wait till I have to hear some pages stop turning. Verse 1, Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon. Then Jeroboam returned from Egypt, and they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you. He said to them, go away for 3 days, then come again to me. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men. So here we do. Here we go. We have him taking counsel, who had stood before Solomon, his father, while he was yet alive, saying, how do you advise me to answer this people? And they said to him, if you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever. But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, what advice would what do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, lighten the yoke that your father put on us? And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, thus shall you speak this people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So here we got Rehoboam. He's got two set of advisors. One of them are the old set, the ones who were part of Solomon. These are guys who are experienced, who know the people, who know the lay of the land, both physically and figuratively. And then he's got another set of advisors, the young guys, those who grew up with him, his friends, his buddies, people who want to do what? They want to tell him what he wants to hear. And of course, that was the advice that he took. Now, this actually got me thinking that when it comes to counsel, there's a process. When it comes to getting advice, there's a process. First, advice is given. You know, whether you ask for it or not. Gotta love it when people give advice that you don't even ask for. and then a person considers it and decides to take it or not. Now, first off, you have to wonder, why would people give bad advice? A couple reasons. Could be, first, they don't know it's bad advice. I mean, do you think Rehoboam's young friend advisors, do you think they knew it was bad advice?
They were spoiled brats.
They were spoiled brats. And in their mind, no, this is what you should be doing, right? Because after all, if they're really good friends with the king, it's in their best interest that he remains king, right? We don't want him to lose his throne because, you know, then we lose our meal ticket. So to avoid accepting bad advice, we always have to consider the source. You know, who here would accept career advice from someone who is unemployed? I don't think there's probably a parent here who has never received advice from someone who wasn't a parent. You got to love that, right? When someone gives you parental advice and don't have kids, like, why don't you just put them to bed earlier and then you'll have the whole evening to yourself? Yeah, well, goodness, why didn't I think of that? Of course. Oh, goodness, right? Sometimes people might give bad advice because, as we mentioned before, they just want to reaffirm what the person already wants. You know, and it is kind of nice when you want to do something and you say, hey, this is what I want to do. This is what I really want to do. Should I do it? Oh, totally, absolutely, you should want to do it, right? You usually see a lot of that with people when it comes to pursuing a spouse or a partner. You know, again, they can tell that somebody's not good for them, but they still want this person. So they say, well, if that's what your heart wants, the heart wants what it wants, by all means. Let's flip over to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Here's a good example of people giving advice to someone because they know it's what they want to hear. Story of Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Verses 1 through 6. Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he made a marriage alliance with Ahab. After some years, he went down to Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed an abundance of sheep and oxen for him and for the people who were with him and induced him to go up against Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? He answered him, I am as you are, my people as your people. We will be with you in war. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, inquire first for the word of the Lord. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, 400, and said to them, shall we go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead or shall I refrain? And they said, go up, for God has given it into the hand of the king. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here another prophet of the Lord of whom we may inquire? Now we know how the story goes from here, right? Micaiah comes in. Ahab's like, well, I know about this prophet named Micaiah, but I don't like him. And why didn't Ahab like Micaiah? All right, it says right there in verse 7. There is one man who we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, the son of Imlal. But I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. I don't want that guy to give me advice. He's just going to tell me what I don't want to hear. Look at these 400 guys who are telling me exactly what I want to hear. Right? Micaiah's rocking the boat. You know, so this is a little bit challenging because you kind of have to take a step back sometimes when you're getting advice and you have to look at it from an objective standpoint. Now, this is where the Christian characteristic of self-control can be really handy. Do we have enough self-control where we can step back from what we might want listen to the advice that we're being given and ask ourselves, is this really the best thing, or am I just hearing what I want to hear because this is what I want? Right? Probably the most dangerous reason a person would give bad advice is because misery loves company. There's a lot of people who don't want others to succeed because it proves that what they've done and what they're doing, it doesn't work. They've made mistakes. There's this common thought in the world that wrong can be made right if we just agree that it's right. Correct? Transgenderism is a great example. If we just all agree that it is possible for men to have babies, then men can have babies. It doesn't matter whether they really can or not. If we agree that they can, then they can. A long time ago, it's kind of ironic because it's when we were meeting here, and we would actually have the speaker up there, and we'd have chairs lined up here. We had Phil Sutton doing a Bible study, and he said he was visiting a few different churches. And when it came to interpreting Scripture, they would look at a particular thing and say, okay, we want to come to a consensus as to what this actually means. And he says, you know, I can appreciate the fact that the church is coming together to try to develop an understanding, but you got to be careful with that word consensus, because the idea is that just because we agree this is true or this is the way it's supposed to be interpreted, that doesn't mean that it is. Again, just because we agree that this is right, it doesn't mean that necessarily it's right. We can all sit here and agree all day long that gravity doesn't exist. have a nice...
I actually know that it does.
Oh, okay, well... Well, he is a gravity phobe, so I want to address that right now and just.
It just works for him.
He's got it mastered. But I mean, in the same sense, a person in a bad situation might actually think that, you know, like all counsel is good counsel, but based on the premise that counsel being given is wise, you know. We can use discernment when taking advice, and what we have to discern if the advice that we're getting, where it's coming from, is a good place, right? When we're getting advice, are we getting advice from the place of wisdom, or are we getting advice from the place of ignorance? Are we getting it from a place of desire? Are we getting advice from the place of something sinister? Now, again, that's where we as Christians, we really need to use that self-control and try to take a step back and look at things from an objective standpoint. When I'm getting advice, where is it coming from? Are they trying to hurt me? Are they actually trying to help me? Are they speaking out of wisdom? Are they speaking out of desire? Now, we're going to wrap up by talking about how to improve that discernment ability. But any questions, comments as we continue?
Supplemental to seeking advice. Bad counsel is—it's a mainstay in human existence. That's why the psalm, the very first psalm, starts out, "Blessed is he that doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked," because that's actually the standard. Good advice is not the standard.
No, that's true. That's true.
It's actually bad advice.
Yeah.
If you go around and talk to people, well, in our business, trying to explain the sound doctrine, you just walk around, you're going to get 99% wrong answer.
Yeah.
And if you walk around people that we kind of like in the brotherhood, it's a little bit better than that.
Yeah.
But it's not as good as it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting perspective, just the fact that getting bad advice, that's actually the norm. The good advice is that's different. So that's.
And people don't. You hit on criticism. I was sitting here thinking years ago. Nobody that y'all know, but this couple asked me, they were moving from a little house to another home.
You sure it's not me?
And they asked me to go look at it. And this was some of the first housing inspections that I had done, and so I went with them, and I. It was a nice house, but I found three or four things that were problems that they just needed to address. The guy ended up thinking, man, you're being real critical of my house. They ended up buying it.
That he hasn't even bought yet?
I said, well, you saw all the good things. You actually wanted me to come and point out what you didn't see, right?
Right, right, yeah.
And he kind of accepted it, but right off the bat, it's like, so people will ask you to come or give advice or what you think. They expect you to give a stamp of approval, actually.
Yeah.
I think somebody mentioned that.
Yeah.
People don't want actual critique.
So I guess there's probably another lesson there that if you're asking advice, be prepared to actually get it, even if it's what you don't like. But you bring up a good point about the fact that usually when you're asking for advice, your goal should be to look at everything from every angle. That's what you're looking for. Is this person's perspective, are they seeing something that I wouldn't see? And of course, Dale using home inspection in the example is a perfect way to do that because he knows what to look for, whereas I wouldn't. You know, a long time ago, I was helping my mom move into one of her houses, and I was backing up a 24-foot U-Haul. And I had a couple of people helping me. You know why? Because, well, I can't see what's directly behind me in a 24-foot U-Haul. You need someone back there so they can see all the blind spots. And that's really why we seek advice. It's because we're looking for blind spots. We're looking for factors that we might not be aware of and that we need to consider. That's why we should really be seeking advice. I'm looking for something that I haven't thought of. If I go this route, have I anticipated everything that can occur? And that's one of the main reasons why we really consult Scripture when it comes to any decision we make. When we're considering doing anything, that's one of the reasons that we consult Scripture. I mean, we consult Scripture when it comes to marriage, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to our jobs, when it comes to friends, when it comes to confrontation. If I'm going to confront someone, I want to make sure I go about this the right way. Where do I go to learn about confrontation and how to handle it? Scripture. I mean, if many counselors is what we're looking for, and that's one of the things that Proverbs emphasizes, is that in many counselors, there is victory. If we want many counselors, the Bible's the place to go. I mean, the Bible is made up of 66 books with what, a little over 40 writers? You know, given the different writing styles, we can conclude that they were all divinely inspired, but they still gave their own unique perspective. If you look at the parables of Christ, we can read about the same parable from all four different writers, and they each give a different perspective or a different angle, right? Same thing, same events, different perspectives in order to get the full picture. That's what we're going for. And that's what we do when we ask for advice from the brethren. We want a full picture. We want to make sure we're considering all the angles. Now, I ask you again, is it a weakness? If I'm backing up a 24-foot U-Haul, if I ask for advice, does that mean I'm a bad driver? Or does that just mean I want to get my security deposit back on that U-Haul? You know, a wonderful thing to consider that one of the reasons that many subjects in the Bible are covered in many different places by different writers is because God wants us to have a bigger perspective. He wants us to see everything. I mean, again, we're here in 2 Chronicles. We can read about several different, the same story in Chronicles as Kings, but there's slight different variations. Not contradictions, but variations. Why? Because we get the full picture when we do that. Tonight, we read four separate proverbs about counsel and advice. And each one of them gave us a different perspective, which helps us to see the full picture. This is why you should seek advice. This is why you should also consider who you're getting advice from. Here's everything you need to know about getting advice. Fact is that there's going to be times when everybody needs advice. They might need a little bit of counsel. They might need some guidance. You know, the things that we need to ask before taking it is considering the source. Who are we getting this advice from? What are their motivations for giving us advice? And we need to consider all the angles. And the one thing about Scripture that's great, that is, you know, being divinely inspired, means that we can trust the source, God, and that he's given us the angles. So this whole study just to say, hey, you want counsel, you want advice, you want guidance, just read the Bible. That whole study just to get there. Read Scripture if you want counsel, if you want advice about absolutely anything, because saints, I am convinced whatever it is, we can get all the perspectives and the trusted sources that we need right here. All right, we'll conclude there. Questions or comments? Yeah, sure. Stopping recording.